Risky Robots, this time on Right Angle. I'm Scott Ott with Bill Whittle and Stephen Green. And gentlemen, delightful story in the Wall Street Journal about a study that has been done in a laboratory with subjects who were encouraged to take risks by a robot. In fact, a little 3-foot-9-inch robot named Pepper, who egged them on to inflate a balloon beyond its capacity to hold the air so that it would explode. And this is a traditional test of risky behavior, where you get test subjects to press a button that blows some air into the balloon and keep pressing that button until they think they should stop. And if they go too far, well, then they're wild risk takers. What they found was that if coaxed by a robot to put more air in the balloon, students tended to do so, even though they would lose all the money that they were offered in the study if the balloon blew up. So essentially, they get a penny for every puff of air that goes into the balloon, but if it explodes, they get nothing. Not only that, Stephen Green, and the students, by the way, were subjected to this test 30 times, so they did it over and over again, but the scientists found that students who had already seen that the robot gave them bad advice would still follow the advice of the robot with the next balloon, causing it to explode and losing all their investment. Now, not all of them did this, but a substantial percentage of them did this. The reason why we're doing this study is because they're trying to figure out if they can use the negative force of peer pressure that comes from young people especially, their friends, and use a robot to exert peer pressure in a positive direction that may, for example, keep them out of car crashes. What do you think of this way of going about the solution for this, Steve?
You know what kids like to do? Kids like to do cool stuff. How old were the kids in this study? Do you happen to recall?
While you're talking, I'll look that up and see if okay. I can get that.
Kids really like to do cool stuff. You know, your friend is trying to, you're 12 years old, you're with your best friend, he's trying to get you to do this thing, and you're like, I don't know. And he says, but it'd be really cool. And you go, oh, yeah, maybe we should jump off that waterfall. I did that once and almost drowned because instead of jumping out, I thought it'd be more fun to go down with the water, forgetting how difficult it would be to get back up with all the waterfall crushing down on you. So kids do stupid things because they're cool to do. And my next question is, what's cooler than having a robot getting you to blow stuff up? This is the element that is I'm not joking. It's funny, but I'm not joking. This is the element missing from a study like this. Is that kids are not wise. They want to do stuff because they think it's cool. And if I've got a robot cheering me on to blow something up, my first thought isn't going to be, I'm going to lose a few dollars if I blow this up. My first thought is going to be, well, how do we blow up something bigger and how do we blow it up louder? Because a balloon, frankly, kind of sucks. I like the robot part, but let's blow up something cooler than a balloon. And what I really get out of this is I took a Psych 101 or whatever it was when I was at University of Missouri. And we were taught about how to put together, how to structure a study that makes sense and covers all the angles and has your control group and all of these other things. And what I noticed then is the one thing that is missing from a lot of these studies is a real sense of human nature, that we are flawed beings and always will be. Okay, sure, maybe there's a thing where we can get robots to encourage, to nudge people to be a little better or a little wiser. But in the end, I don't think we're actually learning very much because the people who put this study together are ignoring a huge element of human nature, which is that people like to have fun, and it's really damn fun to have a robot get you to blow stuff up.
Bill Whittle, do you think that it's possible that the lesson of this study could be that the thrill of watching a balloon explode in front of you is worth more than 30 cents?
I was just going to say, you know, you get a penny for every time you push the button. You're there for 6 hours. You pass every test successfully, and John D. Rockefeller comes down and hands you a dime. You know, congratulations. You know, a dime. Wow. Yeah. I mean, if they wanted to really measure this, they should have made the reward a little more proportional. That was my first thought about the thing. I'd like to live in a world Let me rephrase that. I'd like to live in a country where, when presented with this test, children as young as 5 or 6 years old would simply sit down, they would start pushing the buttons, and they'd make note. And then the robot would say, keep pushing, and they would say, shut up, this got nothing to do with you. And they would keep pushing the button until the balloon burst, but they'd count the number of button pushes that it took. And if it took 39 button pushes to burst the balloon, then on the next 9 trials, they would push 38 times, and they'd get about as rich as they possibly could be. That's the kind of thinking that we should be teaching from things like this. That when I hear an experiment like that is, okay, the goal is to not burst the balloon. Fantastic. How many button pushes does it take to burst the balloon? Then let's do one less than that. What they're trying to do here is almost like creating a problem that doesn't even exist, you know? Will our children be more likely to murder their parents if their robots say that they should do it? You know, if a robot is telling a kid, you should push the button again, and the kid's young enough, he'll push the button. And if his parents were telling him to push the button, he'd push the button. And if Spider-Man was telling him to do it, he'd do it. And if a dog could point his nose at the button, he'd do it too. All this thing really proves is that kids are more likely to do things when somebody's encouraging them to do it. Now, to the degree that this has been controlled to see whether it has anything to do with a robot, I think is essentially kind of irrelevant. What would be relevant, I think, would be if this study had been set up in such a way so that humans were either encouraging them to push more or push less, and then try the same thing with a robot. And if you found a difference between a child's reaction from a robot to a human, that might be of some kind of value. If it turned out that young kids are more likely to listen to the robot than their parents, then the world is already lost, and we just have to await the arrival of our robot overlords. And I'd like to remind them that as a trusted member of the media community, I can be useful in rounding up other humans to serve in their... Like that temporal shift, for example, that's the kind of things that will happen if you allow robots to take over society. But basically, Scotty, that's it, right? What is this thing proving other than kids are more likely to listen to authority figures? And, Pepper, it's a fairly ominous sounding name, and I didn't see a sign of this robot, but okay, congratulations. You got a toy robot to get a child to earn a few extra pennies by putting an extra puff or two into a balloon. 20% of them did this, and I'm sure this study cost me several million dollars.
I think it's actually the citizens of the United Kingdom, of which you are one generation removed now, I guess. So.
Oh, well, thank God for that. That's why we fought for independence. our freedom to be free from robot testing our children against balloons.
And the reason why this, subjects of the
this
United Kingdom.
Caught my attention for very personal reasons. I mean, I think what the scientists are trying to get at is, yes, we know that people are susceptible to peer pressure. And by the way, Steve, I looked in the study and it just says students. I'm sure I'd have to read like 600 pages of the study to find out what the age was.
Don't bother.
My guess is college students, only because, you know, they're easy to do studies on. But in any case, the study is trying to determine whether the peer pressure that we know already exists among humans, in fact, so much so that just the presence of one's friends who are not saying anything can get you to do riskier things because they're there. You act like a different person when you're surrounded by your peer group than you would if you were just alone driving your car, you know, with your hands at 10 and 2 and carefully observing all posted speed limits. So they know that that works, that peer pressure works in that way. The question is, will it work if it's not a human? In which case, we can put one of those everywhere. And in fact, we already have one of those everywhere. One of those is actually right here on my wrist. And when I got this Apple Watch, at first it had this like little daily nag and it said, hey, if my favorite one was this. If you just walk briskly for another 27 minutes, you'll reach today's exercise goal. And I thought, well, I didn't set an exercise goal. I wonder what today's exercise goal was. The goal was 30 minutes. So it was telling me at the end of the day that all I needed was an additional 27 minutes to get to my 30-minute goal of the day. And then it had this thing, there was like a move goal, and it said, you know, hey, congratulations, for 2 days in a row, you've exceeded your move goal. And I was like, well, I didn't set a move goal. What is that? And apparently the move goal is that I would burn 410 calories, which I think you can do by playing the slots at the casino without with never leaving your chair. And at first, I thought it was funny. And just kind of like, it's good. I'd make jokes about it. And after a while, I thought, well, you know, I guess I should probably move a little bit. And so little by little, I started to make sure, I want to make sure that I was moving at least every day. And then there's a stand-up goal. So you, if you stand up 10 or 12 times a day, then you reach your stand-up goal. And I never touched the exercise goal for like a month and a half, 2 months I had this thing, and I never even tried. And then I thought, you know what? Maybe I should go out and just take a brisk walk around the neighborhood. And that was about 2 weeks ago. And I've taken a brisk walk around the neighborhood every day for the last 2 weeks. And some of those walks are just on the beam at 30 minutes. But, you know, the other day I walked for like 50 some minutes. And I burned like three times the calories I was supposed to for my goal for the day. And I'm losing a little weight. And I'm exercising and I'm breathing fresh air and I'm getting to see the lakeshore because I'm walking down Lakeshore Drive and then back. Today I walked through some trails that are around the lake. And I just thought, you know what? I don't know if I would have ever started walking if it hadn't been for this annoying little robot who encouraged me to take a risk, to do something I don't normally do. Maybe that's not necessarily a bad thing. And to finish up here, I think the funniest moment was the first time I took a walk. I don't even know how to make this thing do anything. So it just, it does things on its own. And I'm walking and I'm out for about 5 or 10 minutes. And this little thing popped up and said, hey, it looks like you're taking a walk outdoors. You want us to record that walk? And I think I've told you guys before, I was kind of fantasizing that there are people at the console, you know, who are monitoring my behavior back at Apple. And they're looking back and forth at each other going, is he outside? Is he walking faster than normal? That's right. It's like, holy cow, I think he is. He's been walking nonstop for 5 minutes. And so they press a button to send the thing to my watch and go, hey, good job, partner. You want us to track this? It seems like you're inadvertently exercising. All of that to say, I think like most technology, there are positive uses and negative uses. I mean, obviously, this little thing could encourage me if I bought a little bit of stock that maybe I should buy a little bit more stock and you know, buy it at a higher price. And it could encourage me if I were at the casino. And if it, you know, not that I do that, but it depends on how you use it and how you control the use of it. All in all, my little Pepper robot has been quite useful for me in the last couple of weeks. And at my advanced age, I'm glad to have been doing some exercise, and I do thank our robot overlords for making that possible. And I'm looking for more ways to kind of discipline myself without having to think about disciplining myself every day so that I will go further. I found that walking makes me want to eat a little lighter at mealtime because I think, well, why waste? I just burned 410 calories. I don't want to shove that right back into my pie hole. So this study makes a lot of sense to me as to why they were doing it. It can be used for nefarious purposes. It can be used for good purposes. Personally, right now it's good for me, but keep an eye on me. I'd be a little nervous about me if I were you. For Bill Whittle and Stephen Green, I'm Scott Ott. Thanks to the members at BillWhittle.com for making Right Angle possible.